Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Monday, March the 21st, 2016, first day of spring 2016. It's also the spring solstice, which means we will have equal number of daylight hours and nighttime hours today, 12 and 12. So count that. It is 1:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are joined this hour by the PAL Psychic, Lynn White. Again, her address is 80 South Liberty Street, number 201 in Powell, Ohio, and website www.thepalpsychic.com. She will take your calls for the next hour, as we do each and every Monday from 1:10 to 2 p.m. on anything under the sun: relationship advice, financial future, talk with somebody who's no longer here, or ask any question under the sun. 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open, and if it rings busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on calling in. 740-383-9944. And before we get to that, I do want to mention that I have uploaded some classic radio programs that I've done over the years into the archive here, so you can catch those at night. Interviews I did with Jack Klugman from The Odd Couple, Ed McMahon from The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, Phyllis Diller, the last interview anybody ever did with her I did 20 days before she died, Dr. Ruth, legendary sex doctor, Helen Thomas, Dean of the White House Press Corps, Carol Channing, all kinds of Lou Albano, Captain Lou Albano, Ernest Borgnine is in there, along with a whole host of other people who I've been lucky enough to have on the show. A guy, Elvis Aaron Presley Jr., who claimed to be the son of Elvis Presley. So everybody who's been on the show, and dead, most of those people are dead now, but thank God their voices still hearken on from beyond the grave. I was trying to think of some other people that are in there. I know Carol Channing's in there. Phyllis Diller, Helen Thomas. Seems like I'm forgetting somebody. I'll look at that. Madge Cooper, our own First Lady of Radio here in Marion, she's in there. So a lot of interesting people who I've had the fortune to have on the program over the years. They have Rue McClanahan from the Golden Girls, Betty White. Willard Scott is in there. So all kinds of good stuff. We hope you will enjoy as you listen to the station. There we go. That's your speak.
That's my cue. I'm not with it today.
You're never with it on Monday. What's wrong with you?
I don't know what
it is. I don't know. You're as confused as a box of rocks.
Yeah, that's me today.
Lynn, how you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
Well, it's good. Oh, you're not. You're not at the mic I thought you were at.
Oh, I can switch it out.
No, you're good. I think you're good. Okay. I think we're good now. I think we can hear you.
Hello.
Okay, there we go. So what's new with you?
Not too much. Just enjoying this beautiful weather and excited to maybe hit spring and have it stay spring rather than have spring, winter, everything else going on. So, yeah, hopefully we're on the up and up.
But today's not beautiful weather.
It's in comparison to what it could be. I mean,
that's a colloquialism. Now, what could it be?
Oh, it could be 70 and beautiful out and sunny and
right. So this is not beautiful weather.
I'll take it though.
You'll take it
versus snow and rain. Absolutely.
On March the 21st, though, I don't think we're going to have snow and rain.
Oh no, we're in Ohio. It could be anything. I think we've seen it every season, every week for the past month.
Our weather is as unpredictable as Donald Trump.
That's a good one.
See, you create your own as time goes on. So we've been talking over the week, so spent a lot of time on love life. Have you come to a conclusion on the conversations we've had about people in their love lives?
I guess that, I mean, overall, people are going to feel and think that the way that they want to feel and think, and you know, I'm not here to convince anybody or change anybody's mind. I have my views. Other people have their views. So, you know, we can agree to disagree or you know, just kind of leave it at that. I don't really believe in trying to force someone to feel the way I do. I just try to open them up to other ideas.
And what is your basic feeling on that?
On love lives?
Yeah.
That, you know, that we a lot of times think with our heart, not our head. And sometimes it's hard to get that clear perspective. Sometimes we need someone else to give us that clear perspective. And, you know, there's people that are maybe together that shouldn't be, people that are together that could work through it because the differences aren't so huge. And then, you know, there's people that are truly meant to be together, that, you know, one person's strength is another one's weakness and is all about balance. So, You know, it just really depends.
It's very interesting because it's a very complicated subject.
It is. I mean, in every situation is so completely different. And, you know, our personal beliefs play into that. Our, you know, childhoods play into that. We have so many different influences, whether it's, you know, media or, you know, what we think we are supposed to like and have and all of that. There's so much noise around us that, you know, that interferes as well. So you have to take all of that into consideration.
That's probably true, but like Terry was saying before we went on the air today, he was talking about how these older men have these younger women. That's not love.
No, it's not maybe love, but they're giving each other what they need. Maybe she needs a father figure. Maybe she wants financial security. Maybe she wants the stability. And she might provide him with an ego boost. Maybe he's had self-esteem issues or he's, you know, had his own issues and she counterbalances that. So maybe, it doesn't mean that they can't work. They just give each other what they need.
Maybe he knows he'll need a nurse soon.
Maybe. Maybe.
Because, see, that's what I think. That's what I've discovered in life. I don't think I need anybody until I need a nurse. Then you need somebody.
But in all honesty, if you have that kind of money, you would just hire a home health aide. You wouldn't necessarily have to marry him or, you know, to go on trips or buy him. It really, I think, is a little more than just that, personal opinion, but.
Well, but do you really want a stranger coming in to take care of you?
Sometimes, honestly, I think a stranger's better than someone that you know, depending on what you're going through.
See, I don't know, because I've been in some of these nursing homes, and some of them are scary. See, because if you have no attachment to the person, then it's just, you know, oh well.
Well, yes and no, because maybe you're in a situation where you don't want that person to have attachment to you. You know, if I've, you know, had issues with, you know, whatever medical problems and I needed someone to come in and wipe me down or do whatever, I may prefer they didn't know me, to tell you the truth. I mean, I can see that going both ways. It just depends on your level of comfort and what you're looking for.
I guess that's true, but hopefully a significant other has, you know, already wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, but it just depends on how you feel about it, not necessarily how they feel about it.
I just think all we're looking for is a nurse in life, because I think that's where it all comes down to somebody there, I think. I think that's what it's all about.
Maybe yes, maybe no. I mean, I don't know. I can't say. I can't change someone's mind. I really think it's more about the balance of you giving each other what you need, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, regardless. I think it's all about really that.
Terry's back with us. He's gotten a cookie, so maybe this will put him into the conversation.
Yeah. I hope so.
So, did you hear any of the conversation while you
bits and pieces?
And what struck you?
I don't know what you guys were talking about, but she said something about it. They need the father figure.
Yeah, all girls want to marry their fathers. I think that's true, don't you?
Well, I see a wide variety of age groups, and I just often think, what's the motive for...
This seems to stick in your crawl for some reason.
I don't know. I should say it doesn't bother me, I guess, but it just seems odd that you see a really attractive mid-30s lady with a guy who's, you know, in his 70s and...
Good for them.
I mean, I'm glad they found one. But just then you see, I kind of do a little bit more research. What did the guy drive in? And I see what kind of car.
You're fascinated by people's wealth. Why do you think that is?
I guess because I've never had wealth. And
see, to me, wealth, I think, is like an abstract thing. You know, big deal.
Yeah.
Rich people get sick. Rich people die. Rich people... You know, I don't think they live all that differently.
Yeah. Well, it depends.
We getting a call?
Yep.
Okay, let's go with it. Hey, you're live on WWGH Radio. Go ahead.
Tell Terry that 70s is not old.
70s are not old, Terry.
70s is the new 40.
Oh, is that the new 40? Okay.
You misspoke.
That could be.
Could it be?
That could be.
You're making people old before their time.
I don't mean it to... I don't know. It just... The 70-year-olds that I see with these people are like, well, wait a second here. There's no way this guy who's part of this... I mean, that's very...
You'll be there one day.
I would just go bald before.
Just go bald.
Yeah.
You wouldn't part your hair.
What
is it with guys who shave their heads? Charlie Evers always talks about this. Why do people shave their heads?
For me, I had a hard time. I had a head full of hair. I just could not do anything with it. So it was easier for me just to.
This is shaved?
Not now.
Not now, but at the time.
Yeah.
At what age did that happen?
I think it was in my
20s. 20s. Yeah. Yeah.
I went all through high school. You see, my high school picture was always...
You have a big, big plethora of hair.
I didn't know how to, part it or
anything. So Lynn, why do people shave their heads now? Everybody's got a shaved head.
I think it's just for ease. You know, it's easy.
But it looks strange.
I don't think it looks strange.
Everybody looks like the King and I. Or Kojak. Who knew Telly Savalas was setting a trend back in those days? Again, the telephone number, 740-383-9944.
Well, I think what it is
why do you always start to talk when I'm talking?
They want a haircut to where...
You don't even answer my questions. Why don't you try to answer them as I come at you?
I thought you were finished.
That was finished?
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were...
I was in the middle of giving a phone number.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead now.
I was going to say, maybe they want a haircut that will actually be dry before the rest of their body is when they take a shower.
What? I think you're losing your mind.
It's aerodynamics.
You interrupted me for that.
It's aerodynamics.
Anyway, the phone call number is 740-383-9944. Lynn White is the guest, the PAL psychic, taking your phone calls. Make contact with somebody who's no longer here. Financial future, love life, kind of a mixture of everything we've been talking about. But you can get your call in, 740-383-9944. And it'll be very interesting. So, Lynn, people who are no longer here, is anybody floating around today?
I'm not really feeling it right now, to tell you the truth. I think you're pretty neutral in here, at least for right now.
Are you a superstitious person?
Semi-sorta. It depends on what it is. For example, I believe in the law of attraction. So if I say something negative or I think about how my words come out, I might mentally retract those. If I walk under a ladder, no, I don't think something's going to happen. If I see a black cat, no, I don't think something's going to happen. But I think it's more the energy I project, the things I say, my actions. Those are the things I'm concerned about. It's things that I can control because I wholeheartedly believe that what you put out is going to come
karma.
Full circle. Yeah, all of that, yes.
Yeah. Do you believe in karma, Terry?
I don't know if I would call it karma, but I do believe in that sort of thing. You know, like how you treat people is a direct reflection on...
Yeah, what's going to come full circle
exactly.
Back to you. You know, or even if you think, man, I don't want to speed, I don't want to get a ticket. I think if you keep focusing on, I don't want to get a ticket, I don't want to get a ticket, you're going to end up ultimately doing something silly and end up getting a ticket. So it's like I try not to put those thoughts out there because I believe you will attract what it is that you're trying to avoid. So that's the type of, I don't know if you want to call it superstition or not. You know, as far as the other things, no, I don't really put too much weight in that because I don't necessarily believe in that.
See, I don't think I really have any superstitions. I can't think of any. Do you?
I'm a firm believer that if you do something one way, continually do it that way. Don't switch up.
Like what?
Like if you take a certain route to work, take that same route. Don't switch up, you know.
Why?
Because you run the risk maybe of getting a ticket or...
Well, that's superstition.
Well, you know that route. The one you've taken.
We had to learn it at some point.
Exactly, but I mean, it's good to know a new route, but it's also bad in case you...
Why are people... We talked about this a little bit. Why are people fascinated with wealth? You get a lot of financial questions. Why do people care so much about the money? If you can pay your bills, who cares?
I think a lot of it has to do with, marketing, advertising, and the way that this country is kind of turning into this materialistic world. It's not so much that people just have to worry about having enough to get by. They feel like they have to have enough to get by and then live at a certain status. Whether it's things they want to buy, places they want to go, even being able to help their children, maintain a certain status. And So it's a huge concern. I mean, and then with the growing cost of healthcare, people are really worried about having money to pay for healthcare. With the growing cost of college, they're worried about their children going to school and if they need to help their kids. It's just, there's a lot of expenses we have now that we didn't necessarily used to have, and things tend to cost more. And it's almost like we're being programmed that you have to have it or you're not successful, or you're not going to be happy, or that, you know, you deserve it. And you know, people don't want to wait and save up money. They want that instant gratification. So it's like we have all this outside influence tapping into us that we're supposed to live a certain way and maintain a certain lifestyle. So people are concerned that they have the funds to be able to do that. You know, and people also are focused on retirement at some point. And, you know, they keep pushing back the Social Security age and stuff like that. So people have to have more in savings. Companies don't necessarily offer retirement like they used to. Now, you know, you have a 401k, but you have to put the money in and hopefully you get a company match. It's not like if you work somewhere for 25 years, you're guaranteed a pension. So there's those types of concerns. It's just financially, there's a lot more to think about than, you know, I go to work, I work hard for 30 years, and my company's going to take care of me, and I'm going to end up on Social Security, and I'm going to have all my medical stuff paid for. It's not like how it used to be, so people are really concerned with that.
But can't you only do the best you can?
Yeah, you can. You know, if they ask me about money, you can't necessarily, you know, do better or worse. You might have a clue of where you stand, but people sometimes, maybe they have a three-year plan to retire and they're trying to figure out, should I downsize now? Should I wait? Do you see the housing economy, you know, market doing this or that? So it's almost like they kind of want a little bit of insight to make those final decisions. You know, but ultimately kind of where you're headed is where you're going to go. But you might have a couple things percolating, you know. I was thinking about buying this house, or I was thinking about selling my house, and, you know, what's the market going to do? Like those type of things, people are concerned about it because those could have some influence over, you know, their end-all all portfolio.
And what do you see in those situations?
Well, I mean, sometimes I might see, oh, man, you know, I see an unexpected expense. Maybe it's some medical thing or maybe it's a car thing, you know. Sometimes I see, like, a promotion, you know. It could be they're going to have a slight windfall. You know, sometimes people are pondering, do I go for this job or stay where I'm at? You know, it's just, it really depends on the individual and what's going on. You know, I have a lady that she's trying to buy a house. She lives in New York. And she'll send me an email probably every other day like, hey, what do you think about this house and how does this feel? And, you know, it's just they're trying to make these big decisions and they just want – ultimately, I think you know the best thing to do resides in your gut, but maybe you just need that little push or that little reinforcer.
That could be true. It's do you – fear can lead to death. Mm-hmm. You know, have heart attacks, high blood pressure, stress. How do you get that out?
I always tell people not to run on fear because it really does you no good. It doesn't do anybody any good. And I am a firm believer that fear and worry and all those lower vibrational emotions can manifest into physical symptoms. Louise Hay, she wrote a great book on, you know, most of our physical ailments stem from a thought pattern or something you're manifesting your own self or something you need to let go of. And you know, I always tell people, get rid of the fear, don't focus on that. And ultimately, fear doesn't get you anywhere. Worrying about something and being scared of it isn't going to manifest anything positive. So you might as well kind of eliminate it and move forward.
That's true, but it's easier said than done.
That's true. I mean, it definitely is a change of perception. It's a change in how you view all the stuff around you, but so important, and in the end, if you work on it, even a little bit at a time, it's not like you're going to wake up one day and you're going to, you know, if you're constantly kind of in that negative vibration, you can't just all of a sudden in one day, you know, turn it around and be, you know, always positive about everything. But you can make an effort at it, and you will start to see your life get better, and it will change things for the better.
I think that's true. We'll talk about positive thinking in a second, but I do want to let everybody know that Lynn White, the Pal Psychic, is our guest. Again, her email, thepalpsychic@gmail.com, address 80 South Liberty Street, number 201 in Powell, Ohio. website, www.thepalpsychic.com, and she will take your calls now until 2 o'clock, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All topics around the table, love life, financial future, make contact with somebody who's no longer here, or anything else on your mind right up till 2 o'clock today, 740-383-9944. Do you think people think positive?
I think people try to think positive. I think we get caught up in stuff, and sometimes the negativity grabs a hold of you, but people try to recenter themselves, and especially when you're conscious of it, and try to be more positive. You know, you might get out in a bunch of traffic, and you feel like you hit every red light and all of that, and it just starts putting you in that mode. And when people can stop and take a breath and really think about it, then they're going to feel a lot better. But yeah, I do think we get caught up in it. I mean, we're human. It's hard not to, but it's putting that effort into not living in that zone all the time that really makes your life better.
I think we talked about this once before, but really never in depth. When we die, because so many people are afraid of that, what happens?
Well, what I see is, you know, your spirit kind of disassociates from your body. You kind of float up and you're in this spirit realm, I guess, for lack of a better term. And, you know, you reside there until you either go to the light to reincarnate, or you maybe want to stay around here. You want to protect those that you left behind, or you want to finish business, or you just want to be here. Maybe you want to be like a guardian to them, or a guide, or something of that nature. But I mean, that's what I see. It's almost like we have an option to either go to the light and start this life all over again, or we can, you know, reside in this kind of spirit realm.
What is a spirit realm?
Okay, so I don't know if you've ever used the program on the computer called Photoshop, how you have like different layers. And what I see is, you know, we're here and we're in a 3D existence, and the spirit realm essentially is overlaid on top of us, but just in a different vibration. It's like we can't see ultraviolet light, we can't see microwaves with our bare eyes. And I see that spirits, they vibrate and they're around us, but we can't necessarily see them unless we tune into that. But they're here just like the microwave, or just like the, you know, gamma rays off the sun. They're very real. It's a reality. We just aren't equipped with our, you know, human body to be able to tune into that frequency. But it's here, and it's like it's overlapped on top of us, is how I have visualized it and how I make sense of it and how this works.
It's kind of interesting because everybody has their own take on what happens.
Sure.
Some people just feel you go to sleep. Some people feel you go to heaven. People aren't really sure what goes and what doesn't. Can you see? Do you see people who were there before? Mm-hmm. Reincarnation. I guess it's the one unanswerable question for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of fascinating if you've ever talked to someone who's had a near-death experience, and they talk about the light, and they talk about, you know, that experience. And, you know, what I see is right when you get ready to pass, you will have people that have been in your life. Maybe it's a brother or a father or a parent or whatnot. And they sort of guide you, because I get that, you know, when you finally do pass in that final moment, it's hard to release your physical body from your spirit body. I get it wants to stay connected. So to make that final breakaway can be really challenging. So you have these other people there from your past that are in spirit, kind of guide you and make you feel safe and make you feel like it's okay. And then once you detach, then it's like you open up into this whole new world, this, you know, a spirit world. And that's where I have always seen that you have the choice to either go to the light, or you can stay in that spirit world for as long as you want until you choose to go to the light.
Caller, are you there? Nope, we had a caller, but hey, give us a call back, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If that was you, we were in the middle of a conversation there, but the phone lines are wide open now, and we would certainly be glad to take your phone call on whatever question you have for Lynn, the PAL psychic, who will be here through 2 o'clock this afternoon, 740-383-9944. Just give us a call back, and we will get you up on the air. And if you get the busy signal, it just means we're on the line with somebody else, but right now the lines are wide open. What do you think happens when we die, Terry?
Well, I think our soul, like Lynn said, kind of goes one of two places. You either go to like either darkness to me, or you know, I've had people say that it's been just like this beautiful city that you know has all these different things and.
Mm-hmm. So, very interesting. So. What is the white light?
Yeah, I hear about that all the time.
What do you make of the white light?
Okay, so. My philosophy behind all of this is that we are created from like this universal consciousness, this, and I see that as this immense white light of energy. And when we pass away, it's like we cycle back to that. And I've always seen that when we incarnate, there's a little piece of that in each of us. That's what makes your soul. You have this like light that's within you that's also a piece of the bigger whole. And when people are psychically tuning in, you're basically tapping into that connectedness. And that's how, you know, someone can call me on the phone and I can tap into it, because we're a piece of a bigger whole. And it's almost like a spider web, and it's this big tangled thing, but in the center you have this bright light. So when you pass away, you essentially go back to that.
If anybody has had a near-death experience, those would be interesting to hear about.
Yeah.
740-383-9944. I've never had one. Have you ever had one?
Never had one.
Yeah, me either.
No. See, I'm not sure what exactly happens when you... And how do you know that you're dying? Does it say it in your ears or something? How do you know you're just not really sick or dreaming?
Right.
Have you ever had a weird dream?
That, yes.
Go ahead. Talk about it.
Well, I mean, it's just been several of them. I mean, of course, there's always the one, and of course, I think everybody gets it, where you're trapped in the, you know, and you're running and something's chasing you, and I mean, I've had stuff like that. And
what's chasing you?
You don't know. You wake up and you're like, where was I at?
Hey, you're live on WWGH Radio. Go ahead.
Yes, I've had like, well, two out of, you know, where I had this bright light. I was like, it seemed like it was like a tunnel. And I was getting like closer and closer to this bright light. And then finally, I really don't know what happened, but it seemed like it was like maybe 5 foot across, you know, 5 foot around, this light was. And it was getting closer and closer to me. And then finally, I don't know what happened after that. And then another one I had was that I, oh, real sick. And I remember people, like, looking down on me.
What do you make of that one?
Oh, I was just sitting here thinking about it, kind of visualizing it and trying to put myself in her place. And I mean, I feel like she's right, that what she's experiencing is exactly what happens, and you have the choice to go into that light or not. And I have always felt that people kind of ponder, do I go to the light, do I not go to the light? Like, I feel like you really have this choice to make. The light kind of draws you in, sort of like a magnet, but you can resist it. But it's almost like you have to make that choice whether you want to do it or not.
Well, I never can remember.
Yeah.
You know, anything, you know, when I was like in this tunnel thing or what, I don't remember nothing ever being said or anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you happen to hear the people that were around you?
No.
So you couldn't even hear that conversation. You were completely
no.
at one with yourself. Yeah. Yeah, you were probably pretty far down the tunnel then, because I guess I've always thought, and, you know, granted, I'm not an expert because I've not had that experience, that, you know, when that first happens and when you first detach from your body, that you kind of have some awareness of the people that are around you, whether you hear their voice or you feel their presence or you just No, they're
well, this
not.
Happened when I had my first child, is when this happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like you were kind of far down that path before you were able to either be revived or whatever
right.
happened.
I was wondering, was she running away from the child by chance?
I don't know.
What?
He's confused. Don't listen to him.
I will.
That was your parents. We can't get into that right now.
What?
No, forget about him. Do you have any questions for Lynn?
Yes. Am I ever going to get to feeling better? I've been sick ever since last June. I had a pacemaker put in because I was having these anxiety attacks, and I just had a rapid heartbeat. Well, they got that fixed, and then I got bronchitis. And I just had one thing right after another. Right now, I got bronchitis. And I go to the doctor, and he gives you an antibiotic, and it's, I don't know.
Well, the one thing that I do get is I felt like you had some kind of raspy thing with your lungs, like real mucusy. And
yeah,
I feel
I'm
like
raspy. Yeah, I wheezing a lot.
So I get that you know, you're taking an antibiotic, but it feels like you have inflammation in there, too. Like, your lungs are kind of irritated.
Yeah.
So,
he said this would take care of the wheezing, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think you might need some kind of steroid or some kind of an inhaler, too, so.
Yeah,
possibly.
I've got an inhaler. I know before he usually put me on prednisone, but when I went today, he didn't.
Oh, all right. Well, I think he might end up having to do that again because I definitely get you need an anti-inflammatory of some kind.
Yeah.
And I think that will help you a lot. I think when the weather normalizes, you'll be doing better too. I think you had a harder time because of the winter and the
right,
fluctuations.
Yeah.
It feels like there was like a lot of pressure change around you as far as like the weather goes. So once that becomes a little more leveled out,
yeah,
that looks like
I hope
it'll
so.
Be better. And the one other thing I got, which seems like it's completely unrelated, but I think it'll help, is do you drink a lot of water? Because I feel like you're a little dehydrated and you need some water to flush your body out.
Well, there for a while I was drinking a lot of water. Doctor told me I needed to drink a lot of water, but
yeah.
I've kind of slacked off in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you might try to put some effort into drinking a lot more water, too, because I see that sort of helping you flush your system out.
Okie dokie.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And again, if you want to share a near-death experience or ask Lynn anything, it's very interesting, 740-383-9944. She's here every Monday from 1:10 to 2 o'clock. That's just how easy it is, 740-383-9944. Financial future, love life, make contact with somebody who's no longer here, health. There you go, 740-383-9944. We've got her for about 17 more minutes today. And as I say, we do this each and every Monday. And if the phone line's busy, it just means we're on the line with somebody else. So, health.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing to talk about.
Yeah.
People want to know about their health.
Yes, they do. I think we're evolving to a more alternative society. People are looking for answers that, you know, are beyond just normal pharmaceuticals. I mean, first of all, they cost a lot. You know, people don't always have the budget for all these high, you know, prescriptions or doctor's appointments and that kind of thing. But secondly, I think people have lost some faith in just our whole medical, you know, field or whatnot. And it's always good to have a second opinion to some people. They want that confirmation that they're doing the right thing. People are trying to be more natural and not, you know, pump their body full of a lot of things that maybe they don't really need. And, you know, with today's, like, the way the insurance is run, you go into the doctor and it's like they have, what, a quota of 6 minutes they can spend with you, and you feel like you're rushed out the door. You don't necessarily feel like they take the time to listen to your needs or listen to your concerns. And then how many times do you have to keep going back to feel like you can actually get a full appointment? I mean, it's just, there's a lot of things going on I think people are overall just dissatisfied with. So they're going to holistic doctors and, you know, reflexologists and chiropractors and, you know, massage, all these different things. And, you know, talking to someone who does intuitive perspectives on, you know, medical issues, that's, I get a lot of those type of questions.
You're always about health, Terry.
What I've started doing is, it drives my doctor nuts, is I know I'm having for a very limited time, So I'll take a yellow notebook or something. I'll make some notes, and I'll make the receptionist or whatever make a copy and put it in my file. So when he sees me, then so I'll get there about 15 minutes early.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
So then, you know, it might be a list of 5 things, or it could be a list of 10 things. And
well, plus you get rattled, then you forget what you want to know if you don't write it down. Next thing you know, your appointment's done, he's telling you goodbye, and you're like, man, I forgot to even ask him that.
When he first did this, he's like, what's this? And I explained it to him.
Yeah.
I said, I know your time's very limited, but I said, you're also very expensive, you know. And
right. Exactly.
So I said, this is kind of my way of counterbalance. Mm-hmm. So now he kind of looks forward to that.
No, and that's actually kind of smart. I mean, if they could implement the little thing when you go in and you sign your name in, you know, write your questions down. Yeah. Because
now, how long's this list?
Well, like I say, usually sometimes it's five things, sometimes 10. I mean,
and does he ever get any of these cured? Because maybe this is the problem.
Yeah, some of them, you know. others, you know, it might require going to see a specialist, or it might, you know, this, or that's something that he is kind of out of his control, but he knows, you know, he'll get you to the right people that you need to
No, that's a good idea. I mean, yeah, I mean,
like I say, I know that, you know, the night before, if I know I'm going to see him, I'll put together 5 or 6 different questions. And
no, I think that's smart, because how many times are you getting there and you get, like I said, you're rattled. I know our family doctor, I think his quota is like 11 minutes a patient. He's supposed to be turning, you know, and you get in there and, I mean, you're paying for it. So you want to feel like your questions are answered.
Well, because in the past, they've also done this to me a lot, where it seemed like everything switched. Like, I would go to a doctor's appointment early on the premise of, if I go early, maybe they'll call me early.
Right.
And they did. Well, now I go down early, and it's like, it didn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, white coat syndrome.
So that's a little frustrating, too, you know. I mean, you go down there, and I'm not talking hours early, but I'd go down maybe a half hour early sometimes, and lo and behold, they call you, you know. All right.
Well, so quota's so tight, they're trying to fill as many people in that spot as possible, and unless they have a no-show, I mean, you're doing good to get in on time.
But then, like, you know, you get, like you said, you get two-thirds of the way home. Oh, why didn't I ask?
Yeah, and then you can't call back in, because then they want an appointment if you have an issue. Yeah.
So, like I say, what I've done is I just went and bought a cheat, and everything in this notebook is just a health-related.
No,
you know,
that's smart.
What's the definition of this, or what's the, you know, and I'll just ask them.
No, I think that's
different
smart.
Things, and, you know, and if I have different things going on, then I'll write them down, and, you know, well, what made me do this, and, you know. And
no, I think I'm going to start doing that. So, that's a great idea.
Like I said, I usually make as a receptionist make a copy, and then I keep a copy for myself, and I'll date it. And
yeah, no, so, that's smart.
It's just like you said. I mean, it's just outrageous, you know. I mean, just the price of, you know, just the price to go down there. I mean, copays have went up, and just, you know, everything. And so, I mean, I it's just, it's not a foolproof. It's just my little thing of trying to get more time, you know, from them. And
do they leave your room?
What's that?
Do they try to leave your room?
Well, like, for example, where I go down here, down in Prospect or whatever, which I think people know that doctor down there. But his nurse or whoever will come and get you, and then they'll do all the, like, weighing you and stuff, and then they walk you back to an exam room, and then he has, I think, 6 or 8 exam rooms, and then by the, you know, it could be half an hour time he gets to you.
But say you go in with a cold, and he comes back there, and you say, okay, I have a cold, but I'm also having this trouble. Does he rush you out?
No, he goes over everything with you, but then, you know, like I say, he'll, as far as a medicine standpoint, he's, you know, if it's something that's like I say, that he can't prescribe, you know, say it's something a little bit more in-depth than that. I mean, cold's a good one, but say it's something a little bit more in-depth than that. He might say, well, go see Dr. So-and-so, you know, which ultimately is another copay, but whatever, but, you know.
I've just never had a doctor. I never felt rushed.
Yeah,
in
really?
A doctor's no, boy. Never. Oh, have.
I have several times.
Yeah. No,
several times.
See, because when I go in, I start talking to them, you know, immediately.
Yeah.
I start questioning them.
Ah,
yeah.
Good.
See, so they get on the defensive.
Yeah.
And then when they were on the defensive, then they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had one bad experience down here where I was ready to change doctors, and he called me back himself and made every one of his staff apologize.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
First, I mean, I felt so bad.
See, when you go in, the first thing you do is you say, have you ever had a malpractice lawsuit filed against you?
There you go.
And they will give you as much time
Absolutely.
As you need.
Mm, that's a good intro.
Yeah, see, that's how you get it in. And you got to be smart about it, because then they think, oh, no, what am I going to do? But my doctor is very thorough.
Good.
Thorough.
Do you have a DO or an MD?
An MD.
Ah.
Yeah.
Those are the ones you want.
A D.O. is actually more.
Well, a buddy of mine, I didn't know what.
A D.O.
I didn't know what. No, I said you want an M.D.
No, what's a D.O.?
A doctor of obstetricians.
They're actually, they go to school longer and they look at the body like a whole system. And actually, I'm searching for a D.O. in my area right now because the M.D.s seem to be just not. They're more rushed, they're more clinical into the pharmaceuticals. A D.O. will look at your lifestyle. Who's preparing your meals? What are your exercises? Like, it's just, it's so encompassing of so many other things where it's not just, okay, we're going to, you know, check your...
I don't want the doctor to know who's preparing my meals.
Well, I mean...
You want medicine.
I want to be fixed. See, I want to be helped. I want to be done.
That's where MDs come in. They prescribe medicine.
Well, a DO can, too. It's just...
Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. What's going on?
I'm trying to figure out, you called me 3 times and I didn't hear it.
Well, I will give you a call back off the air.
Oh, you're on the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of
D.O.s, okie doke. So, what a D.O. does what?
They're just more holistic, I guess. They can do medicine. They can do all that, too, but they look
See,
at
I'm not sure
all
about